So we're going to have our reading today from John chapter 4, and Hayley's going to come and read it for us.
We're reading from John chapter 4, verses 27 to 38. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want, or why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their ways towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do with the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more then, and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor."
Thanks, Hayley. I just want to welcome Keith Preston officially. It's great that Keith's here. We heard him, some of us, speak at a presbytery event a few months ago, I suppose. Keith heads up a project in Belfast called the International Meeting Point. He'll be telling us about that. It's really successful. God is working through it, and Keith is the driving force behind it. And I just thought it'd be really inspirational. So we expect you to inspire us, Keith. Be inspirational as he tells us about how God is using that and using him and using his team. So, Keith, we'll look forward to hearing what you have to say. And thank you very much indeed.
Can everyone hear me okay?
Yep.
Super.
So maybe we could throw up a slide.
Yep.
Jesus said there to his disciples, "Do not say there are yet 4 months and then the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." So this is a harvest service, and you're very welcome to it. Maybe a slightly different kind of a talk on our harvest day, because we're not just thinking this morning about the fruits of the field and of our food factories, which are very successful at in Ireland, but we're thinking, Jesus told his disciples to lift up your eyes and see that not the earthly harvest is ready for harvesting, but spiritually he was saying the fields are ready for harvest, because he was just about to, he had already reaped the Samaritan woman, if you like, and because of her testimony, many other Samaritans come out to hear Jesus. And after a while, they begged Jesus to stay, and he stayed with them several days. And then the Samaritan people were able to say to the Samaritan woman, "Look, we come out here because of your testimony, but we've heard this man ourselves, and now we don't need your testimony." So Jesus was telling his disciples, "Look, there's a harvest out there." And for this morning, the truth is that outside of our doors and inside our doors this morning, God is at work. All around Greystones and Dublin and the Irish Republic and Northern Ireland, throughout this whole world, God is at work. And that brings me to our second verse there. "And he said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Now, the amazing thing is that God doesn't need us. God doesn't need us to be involved in his harvest. But the truth is this morning, God wants us to be involved in his harvest. He's at work all around us, and he wants to involve us in that work. Remember, Ephesians 2 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So this morning, there's work that only you can do for God. There's people that Gary and the elders And the leaders here in this church, they can't reach and they can't touch, but you can. And I hope as you watch some of the slides and as I talk about the work of the International Meeting Point, you can see how important that you can be in that work. So there is a work to be done. There is people who, Jesus said, he described people as people who don't know their left hand from their right, people who are blind, who are carried away with the physical harvest that's in the world, and we're so busy getting material things that they neglect their spiritual lives. The second thing we want them, so we want to see that from the meeting point, that there are people's lives being changed. And secondly, as Gary has already said, this is a teamwork. I might be the team leader, if you like, but my father always said that when he'd go to work on a car, because we had a Morris Minor, it was our very first car, and it might get you from Belfast to Dublin, and it might not. It certainly wouldn't get you home again without a major service. And he said to me, you need every tool in the toolbox to get the job done, and we need to work together. So you're going to see that one of the things we do in the meeting point is try to get as many people involved in God's work as possible, because there is a harvest. And of course, the last verse is, why do we do this? Why do we reach out? And what's the International Meeting Point all about? Well, I hope that you will, by the end of what I say, that the International Meeting Point is thinking of, from Revelation, it says, after this I looked and behold a great multitude, that no one from any nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And of course they sang a song, salvation belongs to our God. Salvation belongs. So what is, why do we do this? Because we are part of a global community that are going to stand before the throne of God, and we are going to worship God together. Did I do that or did that? Oh, that's okay. Whoa. We do it in the International Meeting Point. It's a place on the Lisburn Road, and we try to do it where everyone is welcome. Now, I do tell a funny story. It might not work so well in the Irish Republic, because when I got this designed by a professional, our logo, everybody has to have a brand. This is our logo that's outside of our place. I designed it and I had to get approval for it, so I went to the big building for approval, and I was told when I got there, you can't use that. There's too much green, white and gold in it. That would certainly work okay in Greystones, but in Belfast they weren't too keen on it, so I had to get it changed. And I got it changed by the same designer, and he changed it to the colours of the rainbow. And I was told, you can't use that, because someone else uses the rainbow, so we can't use that. So I had to get it changed for a third time. And finally, well, there's still a bit of green, white and gold in it, but that's our colours, and we try to live by this, where everyone is welcome. We're on the Lisburn Road, and if you ever happen to be along the Lisburn Road, just above the City Hospital in Belfast, you'd be very welcome to drop in for a cup of tea or coffee. This is our sign outside the door, where everyone is welcome. About 4,500 square feet of floor space we have. And I like to think of it like this. The Lisburn Road is my river full of fish. And they're swimming up down the river all day outside my door. Thousands of people, students from Queens, asylum seekers, refugees, people who are lonely, people who are depressed, people who have no family, people who, alcoholics, drug addicts, people who are homeless. They're all those fish are up and down outside the door. Now, our job as fishers of men, because that's what Jesus wanted his disciples to be, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Our job is to catch fish. So I'm not much of a fisherman. Caught a couple of fish in my whole life. It's another story. I wish we had time to go into that, but we haven't. But you use different lures, different bait. There are different tactics if you want to catch fish. I'm sure some of our fishermen here could tell us of the different methods. But all the things that we do in the meeting point attract fish. And we want to attract them in so that we can share the good news about Jesus Christ. That God came into the world, that God became flesh, and that he lived a life and that he died on a cross to forgive us our sins and to give us that new life. A life that just will start today, but will continue on for eternity until we sing with the rest of the redeemed on that great and glorious day. So we do two things in the meeting point. There's two halves of our church. We try to do things that will attract people. We do good works. We feed people. We clothe people. We teach people English. We comfort people. We get people furniture. We get people bicycles. We do all of those things. But we also tell them about Jesus Christ. We have Bible studies every day. We have people who witness about Jesus. Mostly Muslim people. Some people will accept it. Some people will not. But we definitely do not badger people. But we need to know, and you and I needed to know, that there is a Savior. So that's our background and our arching. If it wasn't just so bright, we should thank God for the brightness. But fortunately, we can't see the screen that well. Yeah, I did a survey one day, and I never counted anybody more than once. We had 121 people from 30 different countries in Belfast. Now, this is amazing for the people in Belfast, because as far as they were concerned, there's two tribes, a tribe and there's a Catholic tribe. But now in Belfast, 30 different nationalities along the Lisburn Road. And it's changing the face of Belfast, and I think it's changing it for the better. But you can see by our pie chart that the biggest slice of people who come into the meeting point are people from Northern Ireland. People, as I say, who have mental health issues, who are lonely. One guy came in, I asked him to come for Christmas dinner, because we do Christmas dinner on Christmas Day for people who have no one else. And I said, Robert, local man, would you like to come for Christmas dinner? He says, on Christmas Day? I said, yes, we do Christmas dinner on Christmas Day. Last time we did it was a year ago. We did with 92 people on Christmas Day. He said, what time can I stay to? I said, well, we usually pack up about 4:30. Oh, he says, that's brilliant. I won't have to go to the hospital until 4:30. I said, what do you mean you won't have to go to the hospital until 4:30? He said, every Christmas Day, I go to the hospital at 10 o'clock in the morning and I sit in the foyer all day so I can watch people going in and out because I've no one else. And that's the closest he would get to people on Christmas Day. So he came to church with us, and then he came down to the meeting point and he spent the day with us. And then he would go down to the hospital and watch people for another couple of hours. That's just one story. As I say, we're building a team. We can't do these things on our own. I have a deaconess called Sharon Perrin. Sharon works among women, so she looks after our clothes, visits people in their homes, particularly Muslim women, where it's culturally not okay for me or the other guy, Henry, to visit. Sharon will do that visiting for us. Henry Coulter, my deputy, he started work in May for us after 30 years working in Bangladesh for Operation Mobilization. He taught English at the University of Dhaka. He's my assistant, and he helps many people. I wish we could tell all sorts of stories, but today I've got time to give you a kind of a global picture with one or two stories of different people. But they're the tip of an iceberg, because although us three are paid, there are 55 to 60 volunteers that make the whole international point work. So some of our... Keep going there. Maybe you have to... Oh, it's working. So, Reverend Ivan Steen on the right, the local minister, volunteers one day a week in the meeting point, runs a Bible study. Edmund Ororafor from Nigeria, one of our volunteers from Africa. Victor, a PhD doctor from Queens, or from Coleraine University, became a Christian through going to university. He was an atheist in China, heard about Jesus Christ through some friends at university, started going to Bible studies, became a believer after he got his master's, then his PhD, and now he volunteers one day a week in the meeting point. And I have him because we're very in close proximity to Queen's University. I get master's students, PhD students from Queen's, from China who come into the meeting point to practice their English. Some of their courses, it's all Chinese students. Tutors are Chinese. So, and they live in a house with Chinese. They want to practice English. So that draws them into the meeting point. And Victor has a Bible study on a Wednesday in Mandarin. We have teachers. I teach English, and that's one of the ways that we attract people in. Free English classes. Everybody's a qualified teacher. Bina's from India. Penny is from Fisherwick, from Northern Ireland. And Kay is from another Presbyterian church. And they started teaching with me a couple of years ago because it kind of expanded. Now we've got between 12 and 15 teachers teaching English during the week. You can see that you just can't do all this work on your own. It needs everybody working together. From him, again, it says in Ephesians, the whole body fitted and joined together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So if we're going to harvest for God, we have to work together. And so English is a big part. And that's one of the reasons Henry got the job, because he was head of department in Dhaka, and he's reorganizing our English classes and doing many different levels of English now. Tell you another retired missionary there with the blue, a lady called Vera, is a volunteer in the meeting point. But Vera doesn't wash dishes, she doesn't teach English, she doesn't do any other things. Vera tells people about Jesus. Vera has Bible studies. The girl beside her, right in the middle there, Susan, Chinese student, her husband was doing a PhD in physics in Queens. And she wanted to come to my English classes. Then she was bored during the day because her husband, with all the PhD students, seemed to work 12 or 14 hours a day. All very hard workers. But she was bored during the day, so she started coming into the meeting point to brush the floor and just be there. Vera got alongside her and asked her, would she like to study the Bible? She asked her husband, and he approved. So Susan started coming to Vera's Bible studies. Then she started coming to church, and eventually she gave her life to Christ. And we were running an Alpha course in the meeting point, and her husband came along. And he said, when asked why he was there, he said, I'm a scientist. I don't believe in God. There's no such a thing as God. But, he says, something has happened to my wife. She's not the same person that she was. She's changed. And I've come along tonight just to see if I can find out what is it that has changed my wife. And since that point in extreme skepticism, if you like, in his life, he got his doctorate. He's now working in Cambridge in England. And Susan writes to Vera, and Susan says that he now goes to church every Sunday. He's now started going to a men's Bible study. And God is beginning to work in his life and to break down his unbelief. You know, I don't know why you're here this morning. I remember the first time I went to church, a Presbyterian church as an adult, was because I was chasing a wee girl from Kilray, and I wanted to impress her, so I went to church with her, and I remember sitting in the church, And they were saying the Lord's Prayer together. And I was looking around and saying, what are these people doing? There is no God. They're talking to the walls. And actually, a lady she worked with, her husband was a Gideon. And he gave me a Gideon's Bible. And because a friend of mine was going to be a Church of Ireland minister, I started to read the Bible. And God's word says, the entrance of thy word brings light. I opened the Bible and I said, God, I don't even know if you exist. But if you do, reveal yourself to me as I read this. And it was actually reading John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus said. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are mansions. And I asked Jesus to be my Savior. That was 35 years ago. So I don't know why you've come to church today. Is there a Bible study in this church? Are you interested? Then come along to it. It will change your life. Susan's husband is being changed by God's word. And I believe, here's the thing, he saw something different in his wife. Are you a Christian this morning? Can someone look at you and see something different in your life? Is there something that is attracting them to find out about Jesus? Because that's the sort of person we should be, you know. That girl in behind Susan, the one in the middle there, her name is Nancy. She's from Indonesia, a Muslim. She came to the meeting point and she said to me, I see that you Christians treat everybody the same. Muslims only care about Muslims. That's not me saying that this morning in case you want to take issue with me later on. That is a Muslim saying that. He said, you are different. How do I become a Christian? And right there and then she gave her life to Jesus Christ. Later on, she would affect her husband who saw something different in her life. He started coming to my Bible studies. He started coming to church. And now he's a Christian. And he serves in the meeting point. And she, in 5 years, has gone from a Muslim. She's now an elder in the Presbyterian Church. God has completely changed her life. The girl sitting with the cup. Nancy, the first thing she did was... she was like Andrew. She found her brother. She found her sister. And she told her, come. See a man that told me all I ever did. Come. You've got to listen to this story about how God loves us. I had a Muslim man with me at a breakfast last week who's become a Christian. He said, until I heard about Jesus, I didn't know that God is love. I didn't know that God actually loves me and cares about me. And Nancy tells her friend, that her husband's serving food. One of the things we do in the meeting point to attract people, we do free lunches. 60, 80 people every day. We give them a cooked meal. We get free tea and coffee. We get food, as you'll see. No, we've got to go back. Back. We've got to go back to the future. Can we? Yep. Oh, well. We do food every lunchtime. We get food from Marks and Spencer's, from supermarkets. I get the food that food banks don't want. And we give it all away. And, there we go. This family were all Muslims. These two girls were the very first two girls who ever asked me, would you show us what the Bible has to say, because they were Muslims. We want to know what the Bible says. And we started Bible studies together, and they both gave their lives to Christ. They both became Christians. And then their father came from Iran, and he's changing his daughters. So he started coming to my Bible studies. I think you get the picture here. Then he started coming to church. Then he gave his life to Christ, and he was baptized, and then his wife saw the change in them all, and the same thing happened to her. Move on. Maybe yoke doesn't sit. Maybe the batteries are done in this. That was a Chinese, one of a master's student. She was doing pharmacy, very popular at Queen's among Chinese students. She was doing pharmacy, She came to my Bible studies and English classes and was interested in what the Bible said, and I brought her to church just like this on a Sunday morning. And during the service, she said to me, "I would like to be a Christian. How do I become a Christian?" And while everybody else was drinking tea and coffee, just like there's a prayer time here, she sat in the pew with me and gave her life to Christ. She's now back in China. Sri Lankan guy, same story. Haven't time to talk about him. Move on. I wish we had time for these stories. Because it says in Hebrews chapter 1, in the times past, God spoke through visions and dreams. But in these latter days, of course, Jesus speaks by his Son. But these two Muslims became Christians through having a dream. They dreamt about Jesus. So that guy I told you about who said found out that God was love, he came to me one day and said, "I had a dream about Jesus last night. I knew it was Jesus, and I said, you know, you're very special. That meant God was speaking to you directly last night. He wants you to follow him." And he did, and he's growing tremendously as a Christian. We'll move on very quickly. Haven't time to tell you about them. Move on. Maybe the last thing I want to share. So we do food. We could tell you all sorts of stories about people. Our latest venture is because the Home Office is putting asylum seekers and refugees in different parts of Belfast, we're now giving away bicycles. So at first we were buying second-hand bicycles. Now churches, there's so many people in church, maybe even some sitting here today. Son and daughter have gone to university. They're in England, they're in Scotland, they're in Northern Ireland. They're not coming back. In their garage is their bicycle, and you don't know what to do with it. So people are giving me their bicycles, and we're giving them away. At first, we just give away bicycles. Now we have to give a helmet, a lock. And I was told off because actually the police aren't very happy, not with me, but with all these asylum seekers and refugees driving up the wrong side of the road in Belfast. And they don't know how to use our road system. So now another charity is going to supply us with trainers, and we're actually going to teach them to ride bicycles properly. The police are coming to a big launch we're doing to give them lights. And these are the kind of things that we do. And, you know, just to reinforce what Gary says, all of this is possible because of United Appeal. See, when we do all these lunches, by the way, we don't spend more than £20 a day on food. So we cook food for 60 to 80 people every day for less than £20. And we have Chinese food, we have Indonesian food, we have Iranian food, we have Jordanian food. It's just amazing some of the different things that people can conjure up. So that's an asylum seeker from Nigeria with his bike. He looks very happy there. And we only started this in July. It's a brand new ministry. Gary knows nothing about it. And we've already given away 30 bicycles. So we try to do that. Better move us on. Just to reiterate, close. Do not get 4 months in the harvest. I tell you, open our eyes. Fields are white for harvest. We're going to have to pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers to get involved in that. That could mean giving to United Appeal. That could mean getting involved in this congregation. It could mean just talking to your mother or father or son or daughter. But the fields are white for harvest. And you know, what a glorious day it's going to be when we all see Jesus. What a glorious day when we can stand with every tribe and tongue and nation and worship. Thank you, Gary. I'm done. Oh, one more slide if you want. That's just my prayer updates if anyone's interested. I'm sure Gary will give those out later on. Thank you.